Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. This evening, we will be in New York with Pastor Dawn Nixon. For those of you that have tuned in by internet, if you would like to participate and be a part of this, you can call in 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Call in and you can participate. We are an interactive Bible study. Amen. And we would love to hear you and hear your comments. We're going to move on over into New York and turn it on over to Pastor Dawn Mixon. But before that, we'd like to lift up a few of our brothers and sisters, and we'd like to lift up a prayer for Pastor Paul Robinson from out of Tennessee, also Minister Bill Robinson from out of Atlanta, Sister Kenneth Dickerson from out of Mobile, Alabama, and Stuart Hawthorne, who is in Cleveland. So we'd like to lift up a prayer for them. We're going to move on over into New York and just turn it on over to our dear pastor and sister in Christ. Amen. Pastor Mixon, are you there?
Yes, God bless you. How are you, Pastor?
Amen, amen.
Grateful to be online with you again, praying for all of you. Please, please, someone, call someone, let them know that we are on the line on tonight. I believe God has something to say to you on tonight, and I want to share with you, because there are many of us who are going through in this season and time, and as I shared with you in times past for our this year, our theme for this year is having complete restoration without struggle. And yet we find ourselves in many difficult situations, yet and still, God is a God who is capable of getting us out of what we're in and not having to linger there, but that God will loose us from our chains and from what is binding us. And so we want to go into prayer. We are going to be in Romans 7, and we're going to start at the 13th chapter and read it to the 25th verse. And so if you would go into prayer with me, our Father and our God, we thank you on tonight. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, God, from the time we have spoken and those who have heard us on last month to this time. God, many things may have transpired, but God, we trust and believe that you are a God who sets free and delivers us. You are a God who changes not, and God, we know that you are able to pull out of us what we need to survive in this season and in this time. And God, we trust and believe, knowing that, God, you're about to do something awesome for your people. And God, if we can hear the word, then we can become doers of the word. And if we become doers of the word, we can walk in your will and in your way. And so we trust and believe tonight that, God, you are going to make a way out of no way. We just trust you when we can't trace you. We trust you even though we don't see a way out of no way. But God, we put it in your hands because we know that you're capable of doing all things. And so, God, we thank you tonight. And I pray, oh God, that someone would hear a word today that will be life-changing for them. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. We're going to Romans 7, and start at verse 13. I want to read it, and then I'm going to go and deal with this particular text. Our text for and our subject for today is the struggle is real. The struggle is real. And anybody who's listening on tonight, you know for a fact that your struggle is real. This is not a plaything that you're going through. And it doesn't really matter what age group you're in. You deal with struggle. A lot of times I know growing up, when we were going through things at a younger age, they would call it growing pains. And they would say, but there are things that our young people are going through today that some of us have never faced. And so I want not only to speak to those who are adults who are struggling with things, but the things that a lot of adults have pushed over to the side as if children don't struggle with many different things in their life. But I come to let you know, get your young people on the phone on today. Let them know that God wants to hear them and God does hear them, and that even though they may be going through, their struggle is just as real as ours. And so we're going to Romans 7, starting at verse 13. And I am reading out of the King James Version, and so I'm going to kind of bring it in and so that we can get some clarity of it. It reads, "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am, or we are, carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. But I would that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Verse 20, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Watch this. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. All right. So you see the battle between good and evil in this particular text. Somebody said, well, I'm trying to kind of get this because here's Paul's writing, maybe a little confusing to me. Basically, what Paul is letting you know, I'm trying to do the right thing according to the will of God, but I keep finding myself doing the wrong thing, even I know that it is not right for me to do, but within my mind and in my flesh, I keep choosing to do the wrong thing. And so we see the battle between our spirit and the battle between our flesh. And there is no one who is here, who is under the sound of my voice, who has not felt like Paul has felt, where they have battled between what was right to do and what was wrong to do. And so we find ourselves really kind of dealing with that. This was back in the New Testament, but yet and still we're doing this now in the 20th century. We're still dealing with the same thing. So we're dealing with we see the argument. Even in the foregoing scriptures, if you go into the chapters before, you'll find the chapters persuade us against sin, and it tries to push us toward holiness. We have to understand the reason why God has given us the law is to show us what we're supposed to do. But because we have taken a fall in sin, we find ourselves battling against what God has shown us to do. The law that God has given, or the commands that God has given, are right, they're just, and they are good. But we find ourselves constantly battling with what we know to do is right. And so there are many of us who struggle with what our flesh wants to do and knowing what God has commanded us to do. We war between our want and our knower. In other words, we war against what we want to do and what we know the truth is that we should do. The Bible lets us know that it's wrong for us to kill, steal, and destroy, because they are part of this of sin. And our flesh and the law of God tells us that we are in sin when we do these things. But yet and still we find ourselves doing it. My question, and I'm going to ask this question later on when I open up the floor, why is it that we know what we're supposed to do, yet we still do what we're not supposed to do, even though we know what the consequences we will face in doing it? This goes way back before our generation. It goes way back to the Garden of Eden. It talks about where God had already told and given a command to Adam, and he knew what to do, but he chose not to do, even though he knew what the consequences of him doing what God told him not to do. It's no change. We're still doing what we know we're not supposed to do, even if we're going to have to deal with the consequences of that. So we still must obey, watch this, we must still obey the law of God. And when we do not obey God's command, we are in sin. And someone would say, we are no longer under the law, but we are under grace. For what the law could not do, Christ died for us. So now the question is asked, well, what couldn't the law do? The law is good, the law is just, but there was something that the law had, God had set up within the law. The law was great, and the law gave us instruction, but the law could not help us. Watch this. The law gave us no grace. That's what the law could not do. It could not give us grace. And even though we were in sin, and even though we're following out the things of sin, the law could not give us grace for sin, because it was now set up that we are going to die if we don't do what the command of God says do. So God is so gracious unto us. God says, I already know this is, I know y'all gonna mess up, you're gonna make mistakes. So the law could not give us grace. And by the fall of sin, the law comes and it directs us, as I said, but it provides us nothing to heal or help our lameness. See, you have to understand that when we fell, we became broken. And when we became broken, the law could not fix us. As good as the law was, good as the command was, watch this, this is why I'm trying to tell people, it's not just good enough to be a moral person. See, you can do everything that the law says, but it doesn't justify you. It doesn't help you. It doesn't heal you. But because, and I'm going to bring this in so you can understand. See, because the enemy wants us to believe, just like he made Adam and as he made Eve believe, that, yes, the tree is there. But you are not going to, your eyes are not going to be open, and it's not going to happen the way God says. Let me tell you something about the enemy. The enemy will take the very thing that is in your possession and try to make you believe. And he will alter it and try to make it look like it's not going to happen the way it's going to happen. That's why so many of us got into great struggles, because when we looked at the sin, or when we looked at what our flesh wanted to do, something in our mind told us, it's not going to be as bad as we think. I can get away with it, especially if you've gotten away with it before. And so what I realized is what the law could not cover, grace ends up covering. Okay? So I can't, in other words, if I do something wrong, I can't do three things good to make that wrong right. Y'all hear me? So it doesn't matter if I've lied, I've cheated, if I've killed, if I've done things out of the order of God, I can't try to fix it by doing something good through the law so that I can make it better. No. What you have to understand is that because God, the Son of God, did something for us to help us understand that even when I'm doing good, Paul said, even when I do good, evil is always present. And when I try to do good, I know there's somebody else on this line besides me. As much as I try to do good, there's always something trying to tell me, you don't have to go that route.
Amen.
You can go away and do what you want to do so that you can feel better about how you feel. See, because what you have to understand, we are dealing with the pressures of life, and we're trying to ease the pressure that we feel by doing something that we want to do. Because if we could just relieve the fleshly pressure that we're going through, we'll feel a little bit better. So we'll say something like this, and this is where we bargain with God. A lot of us do this. We bargain with God. And when we get in trouble from things that we've done based on how we felt, because Paul lets us know, in my flesh is no good thing. But even though there's no good thing in my flesh, I went into my flesh and I did something that I know wasn't good, and now I'm trying to bargain with God to get myself out of the situation that I put myself in. How do I bargain with God? God, I need you to bless me. I need you to take care of this financial situation. God, I need you to heal me from this situation that I'm going through. God, if you do this, then I will do that. And so we barter with God. God, I will only do this if you will do that. You've got to get to the place where you understand there's some things that you're going to have to go through in life because of the choices that you made, and you're going to have to deal with the struggle of what you put yourself in. Watch this, and watch this. And even if God says, no, I'm not going to barter with you, he does not stop being God. He does not stop being good. He don't change because he does not decide to go with the will of your desires because of what you put yourself in. And so if God, you're not going to do this for me, if you're not going to financially get me out of this, if you're not going to heal me of this sickness, God, I need you to make it right for me. In other words, I need you to make sure that, God, if I don't get healed from this sickness, God, please forgive me and let me see you on the other side. See, the thing is, we expect God to alter and change everything, and that God is supposed to fix it for us every time we fall. Sometimes there's some things you're not going to be able to get out of, because some things are just the will of God for your life. Not that God is not capable of healing or delivering. Let me help you. It was the three Hebrew boys that had a knowledge and knew what God was capable of doing. Watch this. But because the enemy says, we're going to put you in the fiery furnace, and we're going to kill you. And the three Hebrew boys knew what kind of God they served. And they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, they said, our God will deliver us out of this fiery furnace. Not only that, but he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Watch this. But even if he don't, it's not because he's not capable. And it's not because he's not able. That means it's just his will for my life. See, we got to stop getting upset when God doesn't do what we expect him to do based on what we've done or what people may have put us in. Everybody's not going to get healed from cancer. Y'all hear me clearly. Everybody's not going to get healed from cancer that knows Jesus. Watch this. And it doesn't mean that God is still not a healer. Because we have seen time and time and time again, there are those who are in Christendom, great leaders, who have died, and they have died at the hand of illness or sickness. My God, even Jesus himself died at the hands of man. Even his disciples died at the hands of men, and they became martyrs. What makes us think that we're any different? See, but can I tell you, if I die for the cause of Christ, I've gained something more than anybody else. And see, we don't want to hear this kind of preaching because we only want to hear about deliverance. We only want to hear about certain things. Can I tell you, sometimes God transitioning you out of this place is deliverance. Because if I have to come back, and I shared this with one of my mentees, And I said to them, when I was talking about my father, I said, somebody asked me, would you rather have $10 million or would you rather you have your father back? I said, if my father's going to come back in the same condition he was when he left here, give me the money. Somebody says, well, how could you say that? I said, because you didn't see my father suffering. You didn't see my father struggling, trying to figure out what day it is and what time or what. I would never want to see my loved one struggle and come back to this earth just so I can have them with me knowing that they'll suffer and struggle for the rest of the days of their life or the days of my life so I can feel better about them being in my presence. All right? So you have to understand we're going to struggle in life. We're going to struggle in our flesh. There are certain things that are going to, there is going to be a battle. So you've got to understand that the enemy is always trying to make it seem like sin is not that bad. He is always trying to use the dysfunction of your humanity to make you feel it's okay to get into the pressure of our world's ongoing priority of self-fulfillment. That's good. I'm going to say that again just in case somebody didn't catch it. The enemy is always trying to make it seem like sin is not that bad, and he will use the dysfunction of your humanity to make you feel it's okay to give into the pressures of our world's ongoing priority of self-fulfillment. Listen, self-fulfillment gets us in trouble every time. Why? Because when we deal with self-fulfillment, we are sometimes dealing with our fleshy needs and fleshly wants. Well, you know, sometimes we got to understand that that is not what God wants us to have. There are certain things that God just does not want us to have. So we battle against good and evil. Even when we grow up in our childhood, we see the battle between good and evil. How do we see the battle between good and evil? We saw the battle between good and evil through Tom and Jerry. You know, they considered Tom to be the bad cat, and they considered, you know, Jerry to be the good one because he was the underdog. Then you have the Roadrunner and the Coyote. It's showing you the difference between what is good and evil. Even you had those cartoons when they had the angel on one side and the devil on the other side, and the enemy's trying to tell them to do something bad, and the angel's trying to get them to do something good. Can I tell you, even now in our day, in our society, the way we still have that understanding that, okay, which way am I going to step in? Am I going to do what I know is wrong and just deal with the consequences, or am I going to do what I know is right, even when I don't agree? Even when my flesh is not going to be, watch this, even when my flesh is not going to be fulfilled. So what do I do? Do I take the suffering and the pressure of not my flesh not being fulfilled, or do I do what God tells me to do, and then I deal with the fact that my flesh is not fulfilled, or I do what my flesh wants me to do, and then deal with the consequences of what God is going to allow to happen because I did not obey him. So you've got to understand, I'd rather fall into the hands of an angry human being than to fall into the hands of an angry God.
Amen.
Why would I rather fall into the hands of an angry human being than into the fall of the hands of an angry God? Somebody said, well, a human being can kill you and shoot you, but they can only shoot my flesh.
Amen.
And they can only kill my flesh.
Flesh.
Yes.
Can't touch
but
the soul.
God is
hallelujah.
Who will take
hallelujah.
Out my spirit, the very eternal life that I have. So
uh-huh.
Listen, I'm going to go back to the dust of the earth anyway. But I need to know where my spirit is going.
Yes.
See, the Bible talks about that we know the law is spiritual. See, so I'm going to stay on the law of God. I'm going to stay with the command of God.
because I want to see God again and I want to live forever. I do not want to die in my flesh because I wanted to relieve what was feeling how I was feeling at the time. See, we want self-gratification, but at the time. Can I tell you how many times people have been messed up over self-gratification? How they've lost everything they had over self-gratification? Is it really worth losing everything you have to feel good for the moment?
Wow, that's good.
Why? Because listen, if you go out and you rob a bank, you make millions and millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And you finally get caught. Was it really worth it? So watch this. At the end of the day, you're still without it. Now I'm without it, and now I'm confined and locked up and bound. Can I tell you, the one thing I don't want is to get my spirit in a place where it's locked up and bound. And every time I gratify my flesh, I lock up my spirit.
Well, that's
y'all didn't catch that.
Yeah, that's good.
Every time I give in to the things of the flesh, the things I know I'm not supposed to do. Just like Paul said, when I would do good, evil's always present. And when I try to do good, I find myself doing what I'm not supposed to do. Watch this. And every time I do something I'm not supposed to do, it puts a lock and a chain on my spirit. And the reason why we are not able to progress in our spirit, and sometimes we can get to a place where we can't even worship God and we can't feel God. The reason why we can't worship and feel God is because we are continually gratifying our flesh.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And when we gratify our flesh, can I tell you, the worst feeling you can have is the presence of God be in a place and you can't feel it.
Amen.
There is nothing, people of God listening to me on tonight, there is nothing like going into a worship and going into a praise where you can't even stop crying uncontrollably because you can feel the hug of God. Spiritually,
yes.
You can feel the hug of God in his presence. Who wants to lose that for a moment of self-gratification?
That's right.
That alone is not worth it. So what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is that I want you to think twice before you decide you want to step out and do what the evil that is always present. Now, look, listen. Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who is going to deliver me out of this?" See, some of us say, some of us, we're in a place where we look at where we are, and we're saying, you know what, I got two choices here. I got a choice. I can either go into this flesh gratification, or I can run. See, because I know I'm not strong enough. See, sometimes you got to tell the truth to yourself. I'm not strong enough to handle what's present with me.
Right.
And if God don't get me out of this, I'm going to fall into it. And see, that's the point is, some of us don't want to be truthful with ourselves.
Amen.
And how do I know we don't want to be truthful with ourselves? Because we make and we justify why it's okay for us to go ahead and do what we know is wrong to do. And when we get to the place where we start justifying, not only justifying, but we'll find scripture to make us feel better about what we're doing.
I've seen
it time and time again. And we try to twist the scripture. Uh-oh. In other words, we try to twist the law of God so that it would benefit what we want to do. So we don't have to feel with the pressure, and then we'll still feel good about thinking that we are still doing what God commanded us to do. No, it don't work like that. Don't work like that.
Amen.
Because That means you're lukewarm. You can't be on both sides of the fence.
Amen.
People of God, somebody say, well, this is one of the things that I know that society does to make us think that it's okay to do what sin is out there. What are some of the things that they say? You're human just like everybody else. You're a human being. But God says you may be human, but greater is He that is
Amen.
In me.
Yeah,
that's good.
Than He that is in the world. So when the world says you're only human, God said, but I'm in you.
Yeah.
And if I'm in you, you can't go by the world system and what society says. Because your humanity or the dysfunction of your humanity cannot be used as a way or a tool to go ahead and commit sin.
Okay.
Everybody does it. But you're not everybody. The Bible says you're a royal priesthood.
Yes.
A holy nation. So you can't even say to me, well, everybody does it. Well, I'm not just everybody.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So when we start using these things to try to justify what we do, because that's the other thing they say, well, you're human first. No, I'm not. I'm spiritual first.
That's right. That's right.
Because before my flesh got here, God had already made me who I am. Because I was already formed from the foundations of the world.
Mm-hmm.
God knew I was going to be here before my mom and daddy got together.
Amen.
Before that seed into that egg, you were, how do I know? Your footsteps have been ordained by God. Before I knew I had a foot, God had already seen in my future where they were going. Watch this. My flesh has to catch up to where my spirit has already been. So I can't even use it as an excuse that I'm only human. Everybody does it.
Yeah.
You're human first. So before God formed man from the dust of the earth, watch this. The Bible says that we were made in the image and likeness of Himself. Well, His image and His likeness was here before the dust was formed.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know this? Because the one who we are imaged after spoke to dust into existence. In other words, He created what we were formed into. So, therefore, I am spirit. I'm spirit, soul, mind, and body. So in other words, well, somebody said, well, Pastor, that's wonderful, that's good, I know what you're saying, but I do still battle in my flesh. Well, let me help you. If you're still battling in your flesh, then you got to get the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Because that's what helps me make decisions of what I shouldn't do, and I do what God has called me to do. No, I don't want anybody to think that I don't have bad thoughts. I don't want anybody to think that I don't face trouble. Watch this. Not only, I don't want anybody to think that I haven't fallen since man has fallen.
Amen.
All of us have fallen. This is what you got to understand is, this is where Christ shows up, okay? Let's read verse 25. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind of I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Watch this. Because of Christ, I am able and capable capable of surviving what the law couldn't do. See, we don't even realize how wonderful we have it now. Us New Testament and 20th century, those who are after Christ was resurrected, we don't understand how good we got it. Why? The reason why we haven't been siphoned out and snipped out is because the grace of God has been covering us all this time. This is what the scripture is talking about. When we're battling between our flesh and we're battling between the laws of God, back in the day, they were stoned to death if they were caught doing something against the law,
mm-hmm.
because the law couldn't save them. Watch this. Before Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, y'all, it was Israel who constantly was taken out even by God. Okay, let's look at it. I just preached this on Sunday. It was Uzzah. Can I tell you, if this happened, if Uzzah was with the Ark of the Covenant, and when the oxen stumbled, watch this, there was nothing wrong with the ark. It was something wrong with what was carrying the ark.
Mm.
The ark didn't fall or the ark didn't slide. It was the ox that stumbled. Watch this. It was what was carrying the ark that was messed up. And Uzzah puts his hands out to help protect the ark when he should have been putting his hands out to protect the oxen, because the oxen was the one that was causing the problem. Watch this. Uzzah, because of the command of God or the law of God that no one touches the Ark of the Covenant, ends up dying because the grace of God was not there to cover him. Because he was under the law. But what the law could not do, the law could not save Uzzah, but Jesus Christ could. So what you're saying,
right,
Pastor, every time you go against and touch God's anointing, the only reason why you're not dead like Uzzah is because the grace of God is covering you.
Mm.
Think about how many times that you have touched the anointed men and women of God. You said things against God's people, and let me tell you something. Just because they don't have a mic in their hand, don't mean they're not anointed.
Amen.
The ushers are anointed.
Amen.
The janitors are anointed.
Mm-hmm.
The sound techs are anointed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you touch the anointing of God, somebody said, "Well, that's not the physical ark of the covenant." No. We are now. He now lives in us. Watch this, and we are anointed. And that's why we have to pray the grace of God over those who touch against the anointed of God. He says, touch not my anointed,
mm-hmm.
and do my prophets no harm. He's warning you. People of God, keep your mouth off the anointed of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is the only, somebody said, well, I know they're not anointed because I'm still here. No, they're anointed. The only reason why you're still here is because God's grace is covering you. Let's not get this twisted. Christ died for us in our sin so that we can live again.
Yeah.
But when we go against the law of God, it don't kill us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it again. Christ died for us. So when we go against the law of God, it doesn't kill us.
Amen.
So we struggle and we battle. Let me tell you something, people of God. You're going to struggle and you're going to battle from the day that you're born to the day that you die. You're going to have to struggle. But watch this. When you build up the strength that God gave you in your spirit, listen to me, and not in your flesh, if you build up your spiritual man, it's easier to walk away from the flesh things of man So when, even though evil is always present, like Paul says, I can walk away from it because I'm strong enough to handle it. Yeah.
Amen.
See, because you got to realize you've had enough heartache, you had enough headache. Come on. You had enough ups and downs. You don't even know how much more you can take.
Amen.
But the song says, I decided to cry my last tear on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And because I cried my last tear on yesterday, I'm stronger. I'm wiser. And I'm better. So much better. Somebody say better.
Better.
Just say in your spirit, I'm better. I'm better. I'm better because I'm not dealing with this. I am better. Better.
Amen.
Go through the rest of this week saying better.
Amen.
I put everything away on yesterday, and I'm stronger because of it.
Amen.
I'm wiser because of it, and now I'm better because of it. Because my struggle is over. I'm going to open up the floor on tonight. I hope somebody has something to share with us on tonight, and understand that, like I said, do not allow the dysfunction of your humanity make you believe that it's okay to deal with the priorities of what the world says is self, what the world says is okay for self-gratification. Is there anybody want to share with us on tonight? I'm opening up the floor for this last about 11 minutes or so. Come on and share with us on tonight. I pray that this word has blessed somebody on tonight. Amen.
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 I don't know about you, but that's a good word.
That is.
That's a good word.
It is.
And I promise you, if it didn't bless nobody, it blessed me.
It's an on-time word.
It's a good word.
Let me
very
know.
On-time word.
What it let me know what I can do. Watch this. And guess what it did? A lot of people don't like that kind of water because it takes away the excuses.
Yes.
Of why we can't live home.
That's true.
It takes away our excuse of why we can't live home. Pastor Zone, why are you going? Tell me that. Just because you're ignorant don't mean you're not doesn't mean that you're not responsible. For what you know. Can I tell you that even the law, just because you know, you didn't know it was all right, even though you didn't, you come from another country, you come here, and you didn't know you couldn't steal, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You still get to go to jail, even if you're ignorant to the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm ignorant to the fact that I didn't do what the will of God told me, does that change the fact that my destination is not heaven? No. You can't use ignorance as an excuse to get into heaven. Nobody told me. God said, I'm not coming until everyone knows who I am.
That's good.
So you can't even use that
no
as excuse. I'm not even going to give you that as an excuse.
No
if you don't know me, you heard about me.
And
because you rejected me, you're not with me.
Yeah, had the opportunity. Amen. Didn't take advantage of it. Amen. You know it's a good word when can't nobody say anything, you know.
Amen.
Amen. So people of God, you don't even have to say nothing because I'm trying to tell you. I'd rather you live it instead of just saying it.
Amen. Amen.
Live the word. Because a lot of people speak the word. We say the word. We can quote scripture. But how many people are living scripture?
Maybe
I don't want to say it.
Amen.
I want to be a doer of the word. I want to live what I say.
Amen.
You know,
and that
Pastor,
sometimes it's a struggle. The struggle
that takes
is living
me.
Up to the word. God said, be
Hello.
Holy for I am holy. Woo! Somebody said,
Hello.
Well, Pastor, that's a hard thing to do. Can't be that hard if he commanded us to do it. Because
Pastor,
if he said to do it, that means we're capable of doing it.
Amen.
Yeah, we can hear you.
How bad do you want him?
Okay.
How bad do you want to be with him? That's my question. See, my thing is, when it comes, oh, my God, I'm about to lose some time because I'm getting ready to go somewhere. We do not struggle. If there's somebody that is in our life that we really love, we do whatever it takes to be with them.
Yes.
Let me tell you, I've seen people mess over other people just to get to somebody else.
Yes.
If you will give that much attention to a man or a woman, how much more if I give it to God? People have left their children to be with a man or a woman. People have left their job, left their state, left their mama and daddy because they didn't agree with the person that they were with, to be with that one person for self-gratification. How much more would it be if I live my life and I give my all to God?
Yes, Lord.
If I live holy even when I don't want to, even when I don't feel it in my flesh, it goes against everything in my members to do right. But I push so hard to do right because I want it more than I want my own desires. That's when you know you love it.
That's good.
That's how you know you love them.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't care what nobody else say. They can talk about you behind their back. That girl go to church all the time. That's all she do. Church, 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 church. Every time I turn around, you're going somewhere. I love them. I love them. And there's nothing anybody can say to tell me that there's nothing greater.
Mm-hmm.
My whole life does not, because God has a balance within your life.
Amen.
But if you're willing to steal, cheat, and all those other things to be with somebody else that can't do anything for you, put you into heaven or hell, how much more if I could just do the things that God told me to do just so I can be with him? And the scary thing is that there's so many people who think they're going to be with him who are not because they wanted self-gratification more than they wanted the law of God.
Wow.
To work in their members.
Wow.
That's a scary thing. What do you really want is my question to you tonight. What do you really want from God? Do you want a friendship or do you want a relationship? Because it's different. I got people who are my friends, but I have no relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
I call them friend because they have been friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But I have friends in my life who are not only my friends, but I have relationship with them. In other words, I can count on them when I need them.
Mm-hmm.
They know more about me than most other people because I have relationship with them. They know some of my goods and my bad, where somebody who's my friends just know my name.
Amen.
And there's many people who just know his name, but they don't know the ups and downs that he's gone through just to get them where they are.
Yeah.
There's a difference between friendship and relationship. And God said, what do you want tonight? Do you want a friendship or do you want a relationship? Amen. I'm just going to have prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to Elder Clay. And I pray that this word has pierced your spirit, infiltrated your spirit, and that God is about to do something awesome for your life. Our Father and our God, we thank you on tonight.
Yes.
We thank you, God, for the many blessings that you've given unto us. I pray, oh God, tonight that you would touch the hearer, that we would become doers. Not only that, but I pray, oh God, tonight that the blessings of God will help us and strengthen us to do the things in the work of God. God, no longer working under my flesh, the laws of my flesh, but I'm working through the Spirit of God.
Yes.
God, I want to thank you for your grace tonight. I want to thank you for your mercy tonight. I thank you for life changing tonight. I thank you, God, for that one who says, I have made up in my mind I'm going to give everything I have to God. I'm going to give him my all.
Yes.
Even when it's a struggle in my flesh to
yes,
do so.
Lord.
Even when
yes.
I'm looking at the presence of evil in my face, I trust you, God, that you're going to get me out of whatever I'm in.
Yes.
And that
yes.
you're going to build my strength and build my faith. Build my strength and my faith so to the point that when pressure shows up, it can't force me to do what I don't want to do. But it
yes.
will allow me to hold on until the will of God releases me to do what I need to do. And
amen.
So I pray, oh God, for all of those that have prayer requests that have gone forth even before we have spoken on today. All of the prayer requests
yes.
that have gone up before the Lord, I pray for every name that was called, every name that wasn't called, but there's somebody on this line who is attached to someone who needs God tonight. I
amen.
Pray, oh
yes.
God, that you give them strength. I pray the power
yes.
of God, the authority of the Holy Ghost will rest
yes.
over all of your people. Somebody say,
yes.
in Jesus' mighty name we pray.
In Jesus'
amen,
mighty
amen.
Name.
Amen.
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 God bless you.
Amen. I believe that I heard someone had a quick comment before we close out this evening.
Pastor Robinson.
Was that Pastor Robinson? Pastor Robinson, did you have a
comment? Pastor Robinson.
Yes, I just wanted to tell Pastor that was an awesome word, and we may be the only Bible that some people read, so we do have to watch how we walk through this time right now, because people see us, and they see if they don't see the love of God in us, then they're not going to want to be bothered with it. So yes, I do appreciate the word that you spoke on tonight. What an awesome word, and it's good to hear from each one of you. I hope and pray that y'all continue to pray for us. Right now, we're not feeling too good, but still, God is good, and we are looking for bigger things
Amen.
To come.
Amen. 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 All I can say is, Pastor Mixon, what a wonderful word, and that is so true.
Yes.
The struggle is real. The struggle is
yeah.
real.
Amen.
My scriptures that I hold on to, for the good we do, evil is always present. Amen.
Always.
So we have to stay close to God, close to God. So that book really spoke to me, and for those of you, I'm praying that you would be girded up in the word of God as you heard the word this evening. That was Pastor Dawn Mixon from out of Long Island, New York. For those of you who have not heard her before, that's on the line for the first time. Amen. For those of you that tuned in, we'd like to inform you that you can archive anything that you've heard. You can, if you have not, if you missed this or you missed part of the show this evening, you can go to Blog Talk Radio. And then you can type in We Can Begin Again, and you can pull up through the archive this show for this evening, Pastor Dawn Mixon. Amen. If you would like to share it, amen, do the same. We do thank you over and over and over again. Amen. We are the body of Christ. Amen. So we do thank you. We're going to close out on hearing the in the background of saying that the time has run out. So we do thank you for tuning in. We'd like to remind you that that we love you, that God loves you most. So until next Wednesday, God bless you.
And God bless
you. God loves you most.
From the shadow of a dream that you My path.